Listen, for a Thursday night, the church has really gone out and just really brought in a special speaker, two special speakers tonight for you guys. Expense was no problem. The next one I want to introduce to you came all the way from Lexington, Indiana. And I'd like for you to greet her right now. She's going to share with you Sam Watkins.
Okay. Hey, guys. Look at you all. I just love you all. I really do, though. I love you all. Well, you all know most of my story. You know, I was a heathen until I went to Haiti. not really, but under the scenes, kind of. And I really didn't realize how, if y'all remember dedication service, how many bugs I had until I got back from Haiti. And ever since then, I've been dealing with them bugs. And so I'm going to talk about my life after Haiti because it's the one I'm most excited about. And most of you know I went to Hanover College, and I was a math major, econ minor. And in math, everything is built on theorems, and that's what you base everything off of. 2 + 2 always equals 4. But to prove a theorem, you have to go to the truth table. A truth table is basically you have A and B, which stand for predicates, and you see when you put them together or when one leads to the other, if it's true or false. It can only be true or false. And so when I was in school and my life was math and econ, I just focused on the truth tables. Well, now that I'm a Christian and I'm a converted Christian in the covenant, I go to the new truth table, which is my Bible. And one of my best friends gave me this Bible, and ever since then, I haven't stopped turning the pages. And it's my truth table. And so every time I need to prove a theorem or figure out a life problem or figure out if I need to do something or stay away from it or what I need to say, I go to the truth table. And I look up some verses and I see what the Bible has to say about it, because my opinions and my family's opinions and my friends' opinions don't really mean anything if it doesn't match up to the Word. Because the Word is the truth, and that's what we should base everything off of. There's nothing new under the sun, so it'll be in there. You just got to dig a little harder if you can't find it. So that's really special to me, the Word. I, you know, since becoming a Christian and really being dedicated to it, not just saying I'm saved, you know, I've had to make some changes in my life. And some of my closest friends and my family even don't agree with it. You know, I've heard stuff like, why you gotta be so Christian, or why you gotta be in that book all the time? Well, that book means everything to me. Right. So if they feel that way, then, you know, hey, look here. But I'm about that book, and I'm about this church, and I'm about all of you all, and I'm about the Lord most of all, and that's why. And it's because He's changed my life, and you all have played a part in that. I mean, even just in little things, even if it was just a hey or a hug. I mean, I didn't hug much before I went to Haiti, and that was when I was 22, and I'm only 24 now. So I got a lot of catching up to do in my hugs. So anytime I get a hug, I'm just like, yep, you know, so I'm about that. And so I just encourage you all that you don't just see this as that book. You see it as your truth table and part of your life, and you open it up every day and you read it. You know, I read a proverb, the proverb of the day. It's really neat how God works. He loves numbers too. He made 31 proverbs, one for each day of the month. And every other month is special because you get to read the 31st one. So on the days, the months that it's only to 30, I'm just like, oh, man, I can't wait till next month. But I'm going to read my favorite verse in all of the Proverbs. And it's something that has meant a lot to me. And it's really simple, but it's really precious. And so it's in Proverbs 16, verse 24. And it says, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. So I encourage all of you to be in your word every day and be sweet to somebody and say some encouraging words. And don't just, you know, if you have a bad day, don't share it with everybody. You stay off that Facebook and you stay off the media. If you ain't got nothing good to say, pick out your favorite verse and put it on there, okay? Let me tell you. All right. So, well, thanks for letting me share. And I love you all.
Thank you, Sam. I don't know about you, but as I get older, it encourages me to see the young people step up. And when River Valley Community Church was started, we all realized that we were, most of us, senior citizens. And we prayed that the Lord would send in young couples, young people, children, and babies. It's my understanding now our nursery's almost full. Children's church is almost full. So praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And the whole point is when we go to be with the Lord and we're in heaven, this church, if the Lord tarries, goes on, and people will be seeking him and finding healing and find restoration through their marriages and bringing their families together and finding the Lord. So it's encouraging. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Well, I'll tell you next, we have another homegrown speaker that we're proud of. And Brandon, I'd like for you to come, and let's give him a big welcome here. That's right. And he told Grandpa Jerry, he said, you better be there, bud.
How's everyone doing tonight? Can you hear me all right? Because I got to pull double duty, so if it sounds bad, I got to run back here and fix it. You know, it's been almost a full year since the last time I got to stand up in front of you and talk. So, and if you remember, for those of you who are here, I mean, most of you remember I was a nervous wreck. So, when Pastor asked me to preach tonight, I've done nothing but pray about it. And I've gotten so excited about it because I was nervous before I decided to do this. And, you know, I've been praying to God and he answered prayers all the time because it felt like I got a download from heaven with this word I'm going to preach to you tonight. So, how many people are in here are familiar with Paul Harvey? Well, in 1964, he wrote an essay entitled, If I Were the Devil. And, you know, Pastor touched on some of this stuff last week about some of the stuff we're dealing with in the world, what the church is going to have to put up with, and how we're living in the last days. Now, again, he wrote this in 1964, and he updated it in 1996. I could stand up here and read it to you, but I'm going to let him tell you in his own words. So Sam's going to play a video for me.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who want it until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
I just wanted to say, Paul Harvey wrote that in 1964. We're in 2014 right now, and that's exactly how we're living right now. You know, so as believers, what are we supposed to do? How do we combat things like this? How do we reach out to the next generation? How do we stand against the devil and everything he's doing? And, you know, God gives us a great word for that. And I'm going to be in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggles is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation." I'm going to stop right there for a minute. Now, it's pretty straightforward there, isn't it? God's giving us something to protect ourselves. If anyone who's familiar with armor, what's the main function of it? It's for defense, right? So, we have to take up the full armor. We have Christians living today thinking, well, we can take up bits and pieces of it, that we can leave pieces off. You know, that's how the devil will get believers. Because he looks for weaknesses in your armor. And you can't let that happen. So, any good combatant knows that, you know, they're going to try and find that little chink in the armor to where they can pierce you and get you to backslide. So the best example there is everyone knows the story of David and Goliath. You know, Goliath underestimated David. And that's sometimes what we do as Christians with the devil. You know, he underestimated him. So what happened? He pushed his helmet back a little bit. David picked up a small stone and was able to put the giant down. That's how important armor is. One little area that you don't have protected, the devil can come right in and do it, take care of you. Right. So we've got to put on the full armor, not just bits and pieces. Right. You know, even as believers, you know, if you do have the full armor on, he's still going to come after you. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's going to try everything in his power to just beat you to the ground. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's going to, like, take your shield. You know, it doesn't do any good to have a shield down here by your side the entire time. What does the Bible tell us to do? Take the shield. You know, you don't go into battle with a shield hanging down here. You have it up here so you can quench everything he throws at you. But he's still going to come at you. I mean, he is going to beat you and beat you and beat you down till, I mean, you're finally on your knees. And, I mean, what can you do after that? But you know what? We have a secret weapon. Everything I talked about was defensive. But now, with this next piece, we can go on the offensive. And the devil can't stand against this. And it says, the rest of verse 17, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What does the Bible say about the Word of God? In Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thought and intentions of the heart. That's a pretty sharp sword. So, you know, as he's got you down, you pull that sword up, and then you can stand back up, and you can start taking it to him, because he can't stand against it, because there's power in that word. You know, everyone says that, you know, the Bible's not true. You know, it's just a book of fairy tales. But if that was the case, why is everyone afraid of this? Why is the world afraid of this word? I'll tell you why. Because in John chapter 1, it tells you exactly what the Word of God is. You know, starting in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him and apart from him. Nothing came into being that has come into being. Now, if we go on to verse 14, we know exactly who that word is, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. The devil can't stand against this. This is our weapon in the world. So we cannot sit idly by and let the devil take control. He's already defeated. I've read the end of the book. He's done. But that doesn't mean he's not going to fight tooth and nail until the end. So, you know, once we have that sword, he ain't going to stand. You know, even Jesus said that in Revelation 19:15, and from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may smite the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God and the Almighty. You know, there's nothing more to say to that, but we have to have our faith intact for that. That's why you have to have the whole armor. And we can't just sit idly by as a church. I mean, it's great to just, you know, enjoy the lights, the pictures, you know, all the nice building. I mean, we have a great building here. But if we're just going to sit here, you know, and just fill a pew every week, that's not what we're commanded to do. Right. We're going to lose a generation if we just sit here and not care about it. Amen. Because Jesus Christ gave us a commission. Mm-hmm. He told us what he wanted us to go out and do. And it's found in Matthew, the last book of Matthew. And it says, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. Amen. Does that say just sit back and enjoy the good life? No, it says go out. Go out and make disciples of all the nations. So we are supposed to go out and spread this word right here. Our goal should be salvation, not, you know, just don't care, disillusioned and everything. So, and you know, look at the day we're living in right now. With the ISIS on the rise, what's going on overseas, there could be a day where we have to choose between our faith and our life. And what are you going to do at that time? If you're asked to choose between your life or your God. So we have to go out and, you know, keep the faith and keep spreading the gospel. There's nothing to fear. You know, the Bible tells us, you know, not to be afraid. What does Psalms 23 say? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There's another, and Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you surely. I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Yes. You know, what more encouragement do you need? Amen. No matter what we're facing in life, God's with us. Yes. All we have to do is know that we have to call out to him.
Thank you, Lord.
There's nothing that we can't do with God on our side. Amen. The devil cannot stand against that. Right. You know, just a little bit. I've dealt with a lot in my life. You know, I was at that point in my life where everything kept happening to us, and I didn't know what to do. I can admit right now, I was a backslider. My armor wasn't full. I had bits and pieces on here and there. And there was a time I turned away from God. And when I did that, I mean, the world just came after us. I mean, I was at rock bottom most of the time. I didn't know where we were going to turn. I just couldn't deal with anything. But then one night when I hit rock bottom, I found out what that rock was made of. And, you know, once you hit there and you look up and there's Jesus Christ with his hands right there ready to pull you up out of that. I mean, that is just so much encouragement right there. So I'm just trying to encourage you all to make sure your armor, get it all on, shine it up, buff it up, and then pull out that sharp sword, because there's nothing sharper than the Word of God. And it doesn't matter what you do. He's here to protect you. So you have to be ready for battle. Don't be idle about things. Always be prepared. And one day, when he calls on us, I hope I'm right there out in the front with him, marching right into battle with him, with my sword up, my shield up, and ready to go.
Thank you, Lord.
So, you know, don't be afraid. Go head first into battle.
That's right.
Because God and Jesus is with you.
That's right.
And, you know, even though we may face death, anything like that, nothing will ever separate us from God.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, like I said, nothing's going to separate us from God's love. There is nothing in this world. The only thing that could separate us is our own selves,
right,
is
right.
Our sin.
Amen.
So you have to make that choice on what to do.
That's right.
Don't walk out of here thinking, you know, oh, I've got all this time in the world, because in the day we live in, I hate to tell you, no, we don't. I mean, you could leave right now, and I'm not saying that this is going to happen, but this could be your last night on earth, and I don't want to see that.
Amen.
So we need to, other than ourselves, nothing can separate us. And it says, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Yes.
And I just want to leave you with those encouraging words. You know, all it said, you know, Jesus is knocking. Are you going to open the door, or are you just going to ignore it?
The Lord gives us the desires of our heart.
Right.
Amen? So what he's done for others, he can do for us. So be encouraged with that. Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for Brandon. We just pray your anointing continue upon his life. Continue to touch him and strengthen him. Lord, we thank you for the word you give him tonight for us. It's encouragement. It's a blessing. We thank you for his life. I thank you for everyone here. And I pray that you would dismiss us, Father, but not from your love and your mercy and your grace and your protection. Bring us back Sunday, Father, encouraged and strengthened and blessed. May we invite others, Father, to come out to your house. For all these things, we'll give you praise and glory and honor, for you're worthy of it all. In Jesus' name, amen.